Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. This is Byron Lazine, Chaz Cook, and Ryan Casey from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And we're into March, which means we've got a Numbies show.
This is all I have to live for is the Numbies. Nothing gets me more excited than the Numbies.
For the CTMLS, we've got all the numbers for February, and we're going to break that down for you, what's going on in your Connecticut real estate market. We'll get into these numbers here in just a second. What's going on with you, boys? It's the first time three of us have been together in a while?
The boys are back in town.
That's right.
Pat Kenny. He's still running scared. That's okay.
He's still doing his thing, which is all right.
He doesn't want to come out and take the abuse about the current stock market.
Yeah, but Pat is mad because the prices of gas went down a little bit. You know, like Pat Kenny always wants to see everyone paying over $100 at the tank. So,
hey, mortgage interest rates are over 7% now, or at 7%, right at 7. I shouldn't say over, they're right at 7, and we're still here. So we had Brian Fay from New England Home Mortgage with us last week talking about that and breaking it all down. But, we're not running. We're here.
Well, and he also just gave us a quick little tidbit. He updated us. He got one of your clients locked in.
One of my clients, 6.25. Yeah. And this was about 2 days ago. So,
there's opportunities depending on the buyer's credit score, financial situation to get in lower. And obviously which lender you're working with, all of those considerations to get in lower. But the average across the country right now is at 7% on the 30-year fixed. And so everybody's individual situation is going to be a little bit different and certainly different, from lender to lender that you work with. But that's the reality that we face. It's why I've been consistently saying to home shoppers, hey, you are, and we're going to get into the numbers here, you're at near peak pricing right now. That may not be the case in quarter three, quarter four in 2023. So if you are selling a house, now is the time to be a home seller for sure. We're as close to those peaks that we've seen in the last year, year and a half, as we're ever going to be. But where are we specifically in Connecticut? Let's jump into it and see where the numbers have closed out in February.
Can I just say really quickly, you did a great analogy on the hot sheet. You said it's closing time at a bar and you're taking that last shot. You kind of are, you're already going to be hungover. So you're like, does it matter if I have one more?
There's a hangover coming.
I loved that a few times.
In the Connecticut housing market, whether we like it or not, you're unfortunately you've spent too much time at the bar. What's closing time? 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.?
Well,
it depends on the bar.
It's 1:50. 1:50. Okay, 2 o'clock.
We got Haley.
Haley knows exactly
UConn college intern here who says it's 2 o'clock.
Not in Newport or Jamestown, Rhode Island. They close. It's midnight. Okay. That's their rules because maybe it has something to do with the bridge.
And a lot of them it during the week. It'll be midnight. Then Friday and Saturday, they'll give you the 2 a.m. call.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So it's 1:50. They're calling last call, and the hangover's coming regardless. So for sellers, this is the last call to get near peak pricing in almost every price range. Every price range is going to be a little bit different. Okay, below median price points, probably going to be good for a long time because that's where we're going to have the most severe inventory issue. But certainly last call to get that top dollar if you're selling in 2023. I want to be very specific. You're selling in 10 years and you're locked in like 99% of people, less than 7% interest rate. Maybe you're locked in like 60% or more people where you're under 3.5%. And cool. You got nothing to worry about. So, all right, what do the numbers look like, Chaz? Where do we want to get started on February's Connecticut housing market?
Let's do months of supply across all properties.
Yeah, I was about to say months of supply or homes for sale, because that kind of sets the narrative of what's going on.
Yeah, what's it look like?
Home supply, we're down 9.1% year over year, but we have been flat since December at 2 months of supply going across. And February was the same. It didn't tick up. It didn't tick down.
You're talking about months of supply.
Months of supply across all property types.
All price ranges.
And all price ranges, right? If we want to just go single family, we, again, stayed flat. January was 2.1. February was 2.1. So we have not seen any growth in inventory at all.
And when we're talking about months of supply, we're at 2 months, basically, of supply across the state of Connecticut for all property types. Months of supply is this. It would take 2 months if no other homes, no other properties, because this is all property types we're looking at right now, if no other inventory, units, homes, properties came onto the market, it would take 2 full months for all of the current active listing inventory to sell through and be at 0 properties available. Okay. a normal market, we would be at 6 months. So we're at two. We're 66% away from a normal market, which means we're in extreme seller territory as it relates to supply. And we know supply and demand go hand in hand. If you have high demand, low supply, then you're gonna have a wild price increase like we saw quarter one of last year. We still have demand in a lot of price ranges, but demand is waning because we have 7% interest rates. Only a certain amount of people can afford 7%, as opposed to last year at this time, we were still at 3.5, you know, heading into 4%. And then, you know, later in the middle of the year, it ratcheted up. Okay. So, all right. So months of supply, and this is, by the way, 2 months of supply right now is an all time low in the Connecticut MLS since they started recording the data. Wow. Okay. So, you know, the lowest we saw was 2004-05 was, you know, 3 months, 3.5 months of supply. We're at 2 months right now. This is also lower than the country, which sits at 3.5 months of supply right now. So we're well below the country in terms of months of supply right now. What do we got next?
Let's do the homes for sale. Yeah. So right now, in all price ranges in the state of Connecticut, all types of properties, we're currently at, make sure, boys, you got the same number as me, 7,696.
That's
homes
over the last 12 months.
12 months with the rolling 12.
But if you go monthly, what do we have available on the market?
5,529.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing
5,143.
Yeah, so right around there. But 5,143, which is down almost 20% from last February. Okay, so 5,143 is all property types. All right, so for single-family homes for the month of February, this is how many homes we had for sale. This is listings. Okay, these are properties that are listed, okay, that are available to purchase. February, we had 4,028 single-family homes for a state that has over 3 million population, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I think we're at 3 million plus. Down 20% from last January or last February, where we had 5,050 homes available last February. We have 4,028, 1,000 less homes than last February. That's the opposite of the rest of the country. The rest of the country last February was the low point in inventory, and 49 of 50 states are, I think Massachusetts is also down actually. So a couple up here in the Northeast, but the majority of states are up right now in inventory, not down. So Connecticut, we are in a unique position, all-time low for homes available on the market. We'll explain that and more of the current state of the Connecticut housing market when we come back. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Byron Lazine, Chaz Cook, and Ryan Casey from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. One Team is the number one team for the entire year of 2022, and most homes sold in the entire state of Connecticut for teams per the CTMLS. If you'd like to reach out to us, go to oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com. You can reach out and connect with us anytime. You can connect with Chaz, Chaz at oneteamct, or Ryan at Casey at oneteamct.com. You can email me, Byron at oneteamct.com. Love to answer any of your housing questions for the Connecticut housing market. If you've got questions about your service, your oil tank, service station equipment, they're the people to call and ask for all of your oil tanking needs, your residential tanking needs. 1-800-801-8265, 1-800-801-TANK to get all your residential tanking needs. Martin McKinney, Dougie Braun, the boys and girls at Service Station Equipment are here for you when you need them for all of your residential tanking needs. Service Station Equipment, headquartered in North Franklin, but servicing the majority of Connecticut. 1-800-801-8265 is their number. Call and ask for Doug. If he's unavailable, hang up, call and ask for Doug again. If he's still unavailable, hang up, call, and ask for Doug again because he is the tank man.
Would they give a better connection if they asked for Dougie Fresh instead of just Doug?
Call and ask for Dougie. Say, hey, get Dougie still in the bathroom? Get him out.
Slide the phone.
That's how they know they're going to be coming from the one team if they call and ask for Dougie Fresh. Yeah.
There you go. All right. We're getting into these housing numbers as February closed out. It's the first show. As we always do the first show of the month, we recap the Connecticut housing market per the CTMLS. We've got all the data in, 100% of the data from February, and we're uncovering what that looks like. Chaz, where do we want to go next?
Let's go to closed sales because I just looked at it and it's an interesting point. So we are down, you know, call it 26% month over month from January to February. But
total transactions
across all property types, all price points. But what I thought was interesting is in February 2002, that was also the lowest closed sale. So dealing with the seasonality of the New England market. But we are only at 1,890 closed sales for the entire month of February, which is down from 2,569 in February 2022, which was the previous low point since they started tracking the data.
Right.
Well, no. That wasn't the low point. Just the last, you know, that was the low point in the last 24 months. I mean, the low point, you got to go to January 2009, where we had 1,300.
I missed that one.
Yep. So we're not... we're not in that territory for total sales. If you go February 2009, we're in the 1300s. 2010, we're in the 1700s, which we're up a tick from that. 1100, 1500, 2012, 1500. So we're just above those numbers on total transactions, sitting at about 1900. We're down 26.4% on the year. Okay, on the year. So. You know, certainly in 2022, the low point was also February because of the seasonality of just not having a lot of inventory. Same thing happened last year. We didn't have a lot of inventory. We just talked about that in segment one here, where we didn't have a lot of inventory last year. And so February, the inventory came later in the year. And, you know, and we saw February, despite the interest rates being low, the least amount of sales due to that inventory.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. These closings, the way that they do it here, is technically these houses could have went under contract 2 months ago, right? 45 days, 60 days ago.
December.
Yeah. Right?
So keep that in the back of your mind when you're hearing these numbers. You know, these are really deals that happen.
It's why I hate talking about closed sale data because it's always 3 months old, that data in relative to what the activity reflected. I like what we covered in segment one, homes for sale, months of supply. That's an indicator of where the market is right now. We've got very little inventory. We're heading into March. We're hopeful to see more inventory so we can, you know, have more of an affordable product on the market. To me, pending sales would be a little bit of a better indication to close. So let's go look at what's happening with pending.
So across all property types for February 2023, we had 2,447 pending sales, still down 16.3%, because in February 2022, we had 2,925. So only 500 less there, so not a huge drop-off, but still enough of a drop-off because we've been on a downward cycle since August where we had 4,245, and it's just continuing to tick down. So hopefully we are coming into that March time frame where people are going to start thinking more about selling and getting outside in spring, and we're going to have our normal seasonality uptick for March, April, and May.
But it's interesting because, and I'd say this a lot during the show, I haven't had a buyer yet, I'm knocking on wood for those who can't see, that haven't stopped.
That'd be everybody listening to 94.9.
Everyone listening.
Except for John Fuller, because he sees all. This guy he's incredible. Shout out to Johnny, who owns Full Power Radio. He can see through the radio waves in every move you are making.
Big brother's watching. But what I was saying was that I don't have any buyers that, since the rates have gone up, if they were kissing at 7%, they were over 7%, no one has stopped looking. I haven't had anyone take the bench. I have noticed I'm not getting as many calls, and this usually happens, right? It's kind of like Byron does his analogy. Here's mine. You're on a dance floor, and the music's starting to change, and you're kind of unsure if it's going to be a slow song or a fast song, so you're kind of waiting. That's why I always notice when the rates go up so quickly, people kind of take a breath and wait to see what their numbers are looking like first. So, but I don't know. I mean, it just seems like this that happens, that beat, and then we're back at it. They're like, okay, well, this is our price range now.
So, yeah, totally agree. And that's happening you know, right now as we get into 7% interest rates again. So pending sales down 16.3%, but remember inventory homes for sale was down 20%. So that's reflecting still strong demand. You can't buy what's not available on the market. So, you know, we still have pent up demand, certainly in the median and under price points with millennials in Connecticut. Very interesting there.
Well, and it ties back into, so transitioning into sales price, so median sales price and average sales price, you know, we are actually, from median sales price against all property types, we are actually up 5%. And Byron, you mentioned that Connecticut is the only state or one of two states in the entire country that has not seen a price reduction yet.
Yeah, price decline in prices. You know, if we look at the last 6 months, most major markets in America have, now experienced a decline, right? We had the housing reset from the Fed in the middle of 2022, and they jacked up the interest rates in most markets in America. That's reflected on prices. Not the case here in Connecticut. Now, you can break down each price range, and you might find some pockets, but generally speaking, I mean, in fact, if we go month-to-month basis, you know, we ticked up from January to February, a little bit. Monthly, we're, you know, up 2.2%. And if we go on a rolling 12 months on price, we're up 7.2%. If we look at the last 6 months, we're up 5.9%. And if we look at the last 3 months, we're up 1.8%. So every way you cut it, we have appreciation. Now, we definitely have slowing appreciation. These numbers were greater. I just meant, you know, 12 months ago, for the last 12 months, it's 7.2%. Well, the last 3 months, it's up 1.8%.
Yeah.
So we're slowing and trending towards a flattening, which is why I tell people, if you're selling in 2023, now's the time, because we are flattening out. And what comes after getting flat is potentially losing some of this value that you've accumulated the last couple of years. So we are, like we said before, it's last call, right?
Right.
This is going to be the time to make that move. If 2023 is in the cards for your life to make that move.
Yeah. I mean, I've been telling everybody since, you know, after, it seems like when January came around, it was almost like I went to a time machine and I'm back in 2020 a little bit, right? I'm kind of surprised, you know, the average sales price the median sales price for all properties in Connecticut and all price ranges is 315. Last month it was 313. It's going up. But I feel like I'm going back up to some of these houses right now, 30, 40,000, and I'm putting in some good offers. And I'm feeling pretty confident, and we're not getting them.
Well, so that's where, like, the April numbers are going to be indicative of what's happening right now.
I think this is going to shoot back. I think it's going to shoot back up. But I was at a house in Guilford on Sunday, and the agent did an open house, and she did a fantastic job, because basically there was a line out the door, like going into a club, and she could only count so many people to get in because we couldn't all fit, you know? So it's kind of like, that brings me back to 2020, you know, with 22, it was kind of busy, but it wasn't like these long lines at the door that we saw.
You're circling the block trying to find parking.
Right. So I think we're going to see this these numbers shoot up. But
now, would you think that in March we'll probably see a little bit of a dip down? Because in January we were seeing a lot of activity, but we weren't seeing as much competition. February has definitely brought the competition. So March we might see a little downturn, but then April we're going to swing back up at a rather quick pace.
It could happen. And the thing is, I tell people, they're like, you know, when we go see a house and, you know, there's all these people, they're like, you know, what do we put in for an offer? And I said, I say, you know, Michael Jordan had that, the last dance, mine's called the delicate dance. I'm like, we got to find out first, because there's a lot of times it's tough to tell if a house is overpriced or not. I can show you the numbers, but people will still go up and get it. So it's all depends on your monthly payments. So usually when I go look at a house, it's our job as realtors to say, okay, well, what are you looking at? How many offers do you have? And you got to kind of pick up what the seller's putting down. And usually I go at asking price, and then you wait for that highest and best.
Right.
Because there's been houses, I'm like, man, this is going to go. And it sits, and some, I think they sit and they fly. It's very, very tough. And the market is telling us what is going on here. And that's how you have to approach it. But it's a delicate dance. putting offers.
Well, it's also going to be interesting to see in the next 60 to 90 days how it plays out with rates being at 7. So some of this competition is are the institutional buyers now kind of pushing their cards back onto the table and saying, now that we can beat people because they're kind of maxed out at 7%, so we can go steal a couple properties with cash by chance, mm-hmm. right? So then when we go back, we'll have to take a look at the stats and see how many institutional sales there were versus a traditional mortgage buyer.
Yeah. Actually, I did lie. There was one person that backed out because of the rates, and they're going back to rent for another year. So they kind of said to me, hey, Ryan, we appreciate everything. We'll see you in the fall. Great. And I said, I'll keep you posted.
We'll talk about rents when we come back, because that was an interesting stat that you mentioned on The Real Word this week about the difference between renting and owning right now and mm-hmm. where the rates are. And so we'll dive a little bit deeper into that based off of the Connecticut.
Yeah, and right now somebody's thinking about selling. Where do I go? Well, it's pretty advantageous to rent right now and wait and see. And that's it's an approach that certainly we're educating people on. You can reach out to us at oneteamct.com to have a further conversation about that. We'll be back with more about the One Team and your Connecticut housing market here. Real Estate Radio, stay with us. 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk.
The award-winning recovery.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And for this segment, we have a special guest, One Team superstar agent, Victoria Tavares, is jumping on to help us with the rewind and talk to us about what she is seeing out there in the Connecticut real estate market. We broke down the numbers for you in the first two segments. We know that inventory is down. We know that pending sales is down, but we know that home prices are up. So we'll get into that a little bit more after the rewind. But first, Victoria, how are you on this
rainy Saturday? Hi, Chaz. Thanks for having me on. I feel so special. I'm doing good. You know, it's a Saturday. We're in real estate, so we don't really see too many days off, but we're here and doing the thing.
Did you notice a bit of a slowdown in this weekend's showing request because of the weather?
I think it's been pretty consistent. Of course, here in Connecticut, you know, we're battling low inventory in most of our towns. So that's always a factor when it comes to, you know, the amount of appointments that we're able to set. But I think, you know, there's a lot of eager buyers out there, so they're not going to let a little bit of rain slow them down and hold them back.
I like that. I like that a lot. And speaking of that, that leads us right into our One Team Weekly Rewind, brought to you by Service Station Equipment. The One Team was added again. We had a little bit of a snowstorm, but that did not slow us down in the last 7 days. We had 5 new listings, 1 price improvement, 15 under contract, and 10 closings. Our first new under contract was 379 Whitfield Street, unit BN1834 in Guilford, Connecticut. This one's going to blow your mind, right? Because you do a lot of business in the Guilford area. A condo in Guilford. What do you think it came on the market at?
Oof. Is it downtown?
Whitfield Street. Yeah, so it should be
okay,
right
Whitfield.
At the Guilford Yacht Club. Yeah.
Oh, well, hold on. Because those are boat slips, aren't they?
It says that it is.
This is a trick question. No,
it is.
It's like 30,000.
30,000.
See, I really know my stuff.
You got it. That's right. So it is a boat slip. It's a 34-foot boat slip. It was brought to the market by Rod Cross, and so you have. It offers the best of both worlds, easy access to Long Island Sound and convenience for a full-service marina. You've got $420 a month association fees. That includes your clubhouse, your tennis courts, your security service, your ground maintenance, your trash pickup, your water, property management, and your pool service. So,
not bad.
Not bad at all. But I will let you know, it is a private club, so you must be accompanied by an agent. So if you are looking for a boat slip in Guilford and all that the Guilford Yacht Club has to offer, you can reach out to Rod at oneteamct.com. $30,000, though. I still have it for a boat slip.
I don't have a boat, but I might get one.
You might get one just for that?
Just for that.
Just to be at the Guilford Yacht Club.
Just for the steal of a deal, yep.
Bet you can find some good clients there, too.
Probably.
Yeah. Our next new listing is 23 Putter Place in Middletown, Connecticut. This one hit the market for $380,000. What do we get? This is a, we do have a little association fee. It's $60 a quarter, and that covers your property management and your insurance. So I'm not really sure how that one plays out, but it is a stunning split-level home located on a peaceful cul-de-sac with 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, and just over 2,100 square feet. Actually, Amber's downstairs working. We should have had her come in here because it is her listing. So, Amber Bova, congrats on that one. It hit the market for $380,000 in Middletown. And surprisingly, the taxes are affordable because we know Middletown has some of those special tax districts that can really...
Right.
Change the ball game for you, but just over 7,600 here. So again, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, 2 fireplaces, just over 2,100 square feet. And if you're looking in the Middletown area, you can reach out to Amber at oneteamct.com. Next up, all right, 5 Lorraine Court, North Branford, hit the market for $524,900. You think they were playing like the 100 under 525 to
probably
draw some traffic in?
I think people are playing a lot of things.
You got it. You got to get creative out there. But this gorgeous colonial is just under 2,200 square feet, built in 1988. It also has 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. And this one was brought to the market by Emily White. And if you're interested in that one, you can reach out to Emily at oneteamct.com. And just so the tours begin today at 11 a.m. And the seller also has secured housing. So you don't even have to wait on that, which is also nice in this current market. The seller was able to get something locked in without already having their market
right.
or their house under contract. So that's a huge factor there. So definitely reach out to Emily if you are looking in the Northford area, Northford, North Branford kind of general area. All right. This next one is 6 Center Street in East Lyme. This is in the Pine Grove neighborhood, walking distance to the water. Another steal here, hit the market for $284,900. It's a ranch bungalow, but it is just over 700 square feet. So it is a smaller spot, but when you're that close to the beach, are you really spending time inside?
Right. Yeah. So how much was that one?
$284,900.
Wow. I feel like that's a really good deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll spin it around right here so you can see how close to the water it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be there, especially in the summer?
Especially 2 bedrooms, 1 bath, right? Taxes are under $3,000.
And that's a year-round
that
home?
That is a year-round
nice.
Home. Yeah, and that was brought to the market by Tina Wozni and Mary Kula. Pine Grove Niantic Beach Association. I was looking for the association there. It is nestled between South Cove and the Niantic River with something for everyone, a beach, a ballpark, a tot lot, basketball courts, and a gazebo. So all those amenities for under $300,000. So again, $284,900, and you can reach out to Tina at oneteamct.com if you want to live in the Niantic area or if you're just looking for maybe a little summer place.
Yeah.
All right. Our final new listing of the week is 7 Pennicott Road in Waterford, Connecticut. This hit for $295,000, too. It's another ranch-style house, just under 1,300 square feet. Taxes, $3,400. You got 2 bedrooms, 1 bath. This house was built in 1953. You got a quarter-acre lot. So, again, lots going on here. You can use a little bit of freshening up, but it is a serene setting situated on a quiet, dead-end street. Beautiful hardwood floors beckon you into this light-filled, neutrally decorated home.
Wow.
Yeah, right? And it also has a generator, too. So if you're worried about living near the water, you have a generator, so you don't have to worry about that. And a one-car attached garage. So great property.
That sounds like a good deal, too.
Yeah, that was brought to the market by Ann Carpenter. I'm going to spell her email here because it's a tricky one. Her name is Ann Carpenter, but her email is A-C-A-R-P-E-N-T-R. So you're missing that last E there. Again, that is ACARPENTR1@AOL.com. All right, here we go. You think I can get through this without bumbling up our 15 under contracts and 10
closings? Go for it. You got this.
Whew. All right, under contracts, 15 of them. East Lyme, Montville, New Haven, Bridgeport, East Haven, Norwich, North Branford, North Branford, Guilford, Ridgefield, Madison, Granby, Bridgeport, Montville, and Niantic. Whew. 10 under closings, so congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Preston, Wolcott, Wethersfield, Ledyard, New London, Wallingford, New Haven, Middlefield, Niantic, and Waterford again. So that's going to do it for this week's 1 week weekly rewind. Again, we had 5 new listings, 1 price improvement, 15 under contract, and 10 closings. Another great week. Victoria, what are you seeing out there?
So I feel like I'm definitely seeing a ton of excited and eager buyers. There's a lot of buyers who have been looking and been in the market for, you know, a year plus, but I'm seeing a lot of new buyers who, you know, want to get in. They want to get maybe their first place. They're eager to get pre-approved. Again, like I said before, we're still battling low inventory. I do feel like week over week, it does get a little better. You know, maybe I'll have 2 or 3 houses to show a buyer, which is actually a lot right. The way it's been. You know, heading into the warmer months, of course, you know, it's March in Connecticut, so it's the weather is still a little iffy. But we're, you know, we're getting there. It's almost spring, so I think it's only going to get better from here. You know, sellers for the most part are still getting multiple offers. That hasn't really gone away. I know there's talk, you know, more nationally that markets have shifted and prices have come down, but I don't, we're not seeing that here. I mean, we're definitely not seeing that.
Absolutely not. We touched on it earlier in the show. Connecticut is the only state in the country that has not seen a price decline yet.
Right.
So we're holding strong somehow. And it is definitely due to that low inventory. So you mentioned the multiple offers. How are you having those conversations, especially with some of your first time home buyers, to help them navigate that process?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm just being really honest with them up front. You know, I'm setting the expectations from the beginning because I don't want anyone to go into it and then just be let down, you know, again and again. So I'm really having those conversations with them up front, letting them know, you know, this is what we're dealing with based on where they're looking and what they're looking for, mm-hmm. You know, and letting them know what we're heading into and letting them make that decision, you know, if at that point it's the right time for them to look, or a lot of them do say, you know what, maybe I should wait. I'm not going to get what I want in my budget right now. Cause everyone's situation is different, but I just think setting expectations from the beginning is really key.
Absolutely. And have you had many rental conversations? Cause one thing we touched on earlier was that to rent or to buy a $400,000 house in the state of Connecticut right now, your mortgage is $3,000 a month, but you can find a $2,000 a month rental comparable in size.
You know, I have to say, I think as agents, we've done a really good job educating people as to, you know, it's better to buy something if you can and make that investment in yourself. And I find with a lot of my clients that has really stuck and resonated with them. So, you know, a lot of first time home buyers are still living home. They're living at their parents' house and, you know, maybe it's not ideal, but for the most part, it's free. So they're just kind of banking their money, which right. is great. So when the time is right and they can't afford something that they want, they'll have some extra cash saved. But, you know, I don't like to ever turn down renting because you don't know anyone's situation. Right. And, you know, there's obviously less of a barrier to entry. It costs, you know, pretty much less than if you were to buy a house up front. You know, you can probably go sign a lease tomorrow if you had to and move in right away. Right. So, you know, I think if that's, you know, something that works for you for your current situation, then do it. You know, I shouldn't stop you from buying at some point,
right.
but I don't think it's a terrible thing to do in the interim.
And that is some of the best advice that you can give a client is, right, it may be the right time to rent, it may be the right time to buy, but either way, you know, we're going to show you the facts and the data.
Yeah, and you just have to keep the end goal in mind. Yep. That's all it is.
All right, Victoria, we got to catch a break here, but if people want to reach out to you this weekend, how can they get you?
They can call me. 203-492-9115. Pretty easy. Or you can email me, victoria@oneteamct.com.
Awesome. Thank you again so much for joining us, Victoria. We're going to be back. I think Ryan's going to pop back in for that final segment where we're going to dive a little bit deeper into Fannie Mae's new alternatives to the traditional appraisal process when we come back on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
You've heard their ads over the past few years.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook and Ryan Casey of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate here with you for this final segment. And we've got an interesting article to break down for you guys here because we've talked about it so many times, the appraisal process and what goes into it and how it can make or break a deal. And especially in this volatile market that we're seeing, and we, you know, we were just breaking down the numbers, right? We're seeing home prices rise. We're seeing inventory go down. So the appraisal or having an appraisal can make so much more of a difference as to whether or not you can actually get that home.
Yeah, right. So we have this conversation a lot. I'm going to be listing a condo in Waterford. And, you know, she sees a lot of times the Zillow estimates, right? And she,
The Zestimate.
She goes, well, I see what they're providing. I didn't even look. It's like, you know, we love Zillow, but we take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to that because it's more of an algorithm. But I was like, hey, let me run the numbers for you. And I gave her the numbers that the market's actually showing.
Right. Showed her the data.
And she wasn't too thrilled with it. She goes, oh, I thought we'd get more. I said, hey, look, we can get more, But, you know, we might be going into uncharted territory because it's a condo, so it's easy to figure out what the price is or what the market value is.
Last highest sale in the complex, right?
Right, and that was it. So I said, hey, you know, I was like, I'll take you to the promised land. Who knows? We'll get maybe 30, 40,000 over because the inventory is so low. But I can't promise you that if someone comes in with financing that this thing is going to appraise. And it's a little bit of like rolling the dice at the casino.
Well, that is exactly right. And that's why I really wanted to talk about this article, because Fannie Mae just announced alternatives to the traditional appraisal process. So what does that mean? So effective March 1st, so just a couple of days ago, Fannie Mae updated its selling guide. Among the updates is changes to the valuation modernization. They stated that it is transitioning to a range of options to establish a property's market value. And, you know, we go back and forth with this because, you know, and Byron always says that, you know, the market value is what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Right.
But the bank doesn't necessarily always have to agree with that.
Right.
And sometimes it's not even the bank. Oftentimes it's just an appraiser who comes out who knows maybe little about the area, little about the home itself, and they're just pulling whatever data they have access to, you know, from a comp standpoint, rather than looking at the entire market, say for a town of Waterford, right? If you looked at all the condos in Waterford, that might paint a different picture than if you just look in a complex that maybe it only has 20 units and right. It's been 5 years since one of those units sold, which we know how much the market has changed in the last 2 years, let alone the last 5 years.
Right. And it's tough because, like, you know, what's going to happen? It's going to be interesting too. Prices start to drop. So a lot of times when I say to my clients, I'm like, hey, I usually like looking, you know, within the last 6 months to see what's sold. Sometimes it's a year depending on what's going on, but you don't want to go because the market has changed so much every year. Every 6 months, it seems like it's always something crazy is happening or there's something that's thrown into the mix. So you kind of are playing it close to the chest, and you want, and it's not always just about the, you know, getting the highest price. You also want to make sure that you're getting to the finish line, right? I can say, hey, congratulations, you got 40,000 over, but what would you rather have? The most amount of money and you get there, or the most amount of money and then the deal falls apart because they can't afford it with
their. Or you have to come back down to where you were because you took that loan,
right.
Or you took that offer because it was higher, where somebody may have been offering cash at asking price,
mm-hmm.
and now you have to figure out how to cover that gap.
Exactly.
You know, so Fannie Mae, they're transitioning to a range of options to establish a property's market value with the option matching the risk of the collateral and the loan transaction. I think that is a key point here, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. The spectrum balances traditional appraisals with appraisal alternatives. So what does that mean? So they're full spectrum of appraisal options. You have value acceptance, data, model, and technology driven, which is the value acceptance appraisal waiver. So saying that, you know, based off of the data, they don't even need to do a formalized appraisal because it shows that the value is there.
Mm-hmm.
Or value acceptance property data, where you can then go in and kind of back it up with some of those things that can increase a property's resale value. The roof, you know, the kitchen, the water system, if you have a well, things like that.
Right.
And then the other side of that is value determination. And they're going to be using a hybrid model, which is a traditional appraiser goes out, reviews the property, takes some pictures, pulls their comps, and then they're also using a desktop style.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have the traditional, the desktop, and then the hybrid, which is kind of a combination of the both. What I would like to find out a little bit more, and we will dive deeper into this, is the same person doing the desktop appraisal as the traditional, or are you now having two people come together to compare their notes and come up with more of a blended answer?
Because right.
That's the better opportunity here. Two different sets of eyes means two different, you know, values.
Right. Exactly. And that happens all the time, right? Sometimes, not too often, but you could have one appraiser coming in and says that a house is 400 and another one comes in and say, hey, it's only 375, right? Because it's based on, we know what we got to get into. We got to get into artificial intelligence for real estate,
well,
where a computer,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, I mean, you know, I say to myself, oh, it's going to be tough. Well, they're doing some crazy stuff right now anyway. So mm-hmm. artificial intelligence can come in, do the algorithms, look at photos and say, hey, you know, this is what we can do. We can do it in a matter of half of a second.
We can do it in half of a second, and we're going to be that much more accurate. Because
right.
We've also talked about how one appraiser comes out and says 300,000, and the other appraiser comes out and says 350,000, and they use the same comps.
It's kind of like watching a baseball game, and you have an umpire, and sometimes an umpire, depending on who you have, you know, sometimes if a pitcher is throwing in the bottom left-hand corner, well, an ump is more likely to call a ball when it goes in that corner. So if you get another ump, he's most likely to call a strike, right? And you kind of want it just to be on the same playing field for the whole entire time. And it's, I mean, how do you get there?
Well, this hybrid appraisal, this component of it, I think, is going to be the most valuable. And I'll tell you why, because I'm actually going through this with a client of mine. We made an offer on a mixed use property. So it was zoned commercial and residential. And what the bank asked us to do, they said, the best use of this property appears to be as a three family multifamily.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to present it to the appraiser. We're going to, you know, encourage the appraiser to look at it from that perspective. And we would like you to provide comps for three families.
Right.
Okay. No problem. So what we did was so this property is in East Haddam. And so for anybody out there, 949ers who know anything about East Haddam, there's not a ton of multifamilies, three families, especially in East Haddam. So we pulled comps as close as we could get was 6 miles out.
Mm.
And there was only one in town that was 6 miles out. And then everything else jumped to like 8, 9, all the way up to 14 miles out. Mm-hmm. And we had to go into other towns.
Right.
And so the bank comes back and says, we need closer comps. Say, okay, well, let's talk to the appraiser and then I'll also send you some. There literally is nothing. I went back 6 months.
Mm.
There were no other three families closer than 6 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden the bank's like, yeah, we're not comfortable giving you this loan. And our conversation went something like this. So we got the house for under asking. My client is putting $100,000 down and he's only financing 215 and the property was listed at 320.
Yeah.
So you can see, right? Like, and so this hybrid appraisal
is the bank telling us something that we don't know? Right. Are they about to say we're not feeling great about what might be happening?
Well, so then they went full circle and they said, can you provide us two family comps to kind of show like how much more value this property would bring with that extra? And, you know, all of us, the appraiser, the attorneys, the broker, because it was with a mortgage broker working with a couple different banks, we're all like, that just doesn't translate.
No, that's like going from a sedan and asking, you know, let's ride
a Suburban. Do you want to drive a Mini Cooper?
A Mini Cooper, like right after to see if this makes, you know, just apples and oranges.
But this new hybrid appraisal, the property data collected by a trained and vetted third party, i.e. a real estate agent. So we'll have a little bit more input on that. An insurance inspector or an appraiser. It is passed to an appraiser to perform an enhanced version of a desktop appraisal for loans that do not qualify for value acceptance. So again, you know, if he's only financing 215, but we're showing comps on three families that says this can be an income producing property of, right, you know, up to 5,000, that should get him through the value acceptance, or properties that do not have reliable prior observations of the subject property. So that's another way of also saying too, if there aren't comps close enough, similar to issue to what we just ran into, that we'll use this hybrid one and we just have to go farther out and we have to kind of open our eyes to what's the reality here and say, listen, this property is worth every bit of $215,000, you know, so why are we not going to be comfortable providing a loan with that?
And I think it's great that they're trying to figure out other alternatives on how to make this possible and what to do. I do think, what's the expression? You're a penny short and what's
day late and a dollar short.
A day late and a dollar short. I mean, if we're starting to think that the market is going to start to shift, right? The problem, what was going on is that these houses were pricing out so high and you're like, what's going to appraise? And sometimes I see houses, I'm like, this is never going to appraise. And then sure enough, they're like, it appraised. I'm like, how? But you just kind of keep going with the flow, right? So, but now if this starts to take a turn and you guys start having, you know, price values decrease, what many of the experts are saying, then you're not going to have this problem at all, right? Until it gets to, so we're at 2 months supply. So I guess when it gets to, you know, when it gets to 10 months supply, now you're on the opposite spectrum of it. Like, is this, you know, whatever. Is this going to be a different ball game? But hey, I guess it's, you know, it's good to, now present's better than no other time. So it's better than them trying to figure this out. They're not doing it at all.
Well, 100%. And then it also gives them the opportunity to say, let's say an appraisal. Oh, and by the way, the appraisal that we did on those three families, it came back 20,000 over ask price. All so right. Again, still not, the bank still wasn't satisfied. So long story short, we're working through it. We're going to try a different program. But with this new program, they'll be able to take that appraisal report and hand it off to another set of eyes, like we talked about before, who can run it in a different way and show them the same exact data. So now they have two people that are in agreement. Hopefully they're in agreement, pointing them, saying like, listen, I know you're a little skeptical because you're not familiar with that market because you're a broker in Florida or a bank in Florida. But here are two local people that understand that current climate and understand the value of this home. And they're both pointing you in this general direction, right? So, you know, it's going to reduce a lot of the discrepancies because Fannie Mae also did a study on the discrepancies. In a sample size of 2 million borrowers, there were discrepancies in appraisal values received by black and white borrowers who were in the process of refinancing their home. So this this isn't even purchasing. This is just refinancing. And, you know, people are having some pushback there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. They mentioned April 15th, but all right. So confirmation bias, hybrid versus traditional appraisals. Traditional appraisals have a 33% bias against them, where hybrid appraisals have a 15%. So it just, again, goes to show how much more value there is in there.
I think it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast in my car the other day, and they said, you know, that a lot of people are taking out home equities. They're refinancing their house to pay off their credit card debt because their credit cards are like about 11%, 12%, where the mortgage is still like, you know, maybe in this high sixes, let's call it right now, right? So it's almost half. So a lot of people are refinancing there, but that's never a good thing, right? That's
something saying we're staying here even longer, and that's not going to help our inventory.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, you know, like what that is, what that's opening the door to. I'm not sure if that's happening a lot, but I just heard on the podcast. So it's an option.
You know, and they close it out with, while there is no clear-cut path to weeding out the bias in appraisals, but as with any journey targeting continuous improvement, it will take time, but the results will be worth the effort. So good on you, Fannie Mae. We are excited to see how this all kind of plays out in the next coming couple of months. But that's going to do it for us this week on Real Estate Radio. We'll catch you next Saturday with a fresh episode of Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Broadcasting live from the Bruce DeLon Buick GMC Studio.